We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
On Sports Radio KFH, 1240 AM, 97.5 FM.
Everybody, good to have you with us. A Tuesday edition of the show with Shane and Bruce. Good to have you with us. 869-1240 on the I Got It at Tad's Locker Room Hotline. Shane Dennis on the other side of the aisle with what's on tap today, courtesy of our friends at Side Pockets. Side Pockets, the place to be every day for lunch and a good time at Kellogg and Tyler. Shane, what's going on today?
Got the band back together finally, huh?
Yeah, absolutely. Did you have a good last few days of the week last week?
I did. I had a really good R&R type of string of days there together. Went to the Royals game on the affiliate's dime on Friday. Took my son.
That's fun.
Yeah.
Good.
Got to see Bluma, saw Gene, saw Phil. Of course, Gene threw out the first pitch that night. It was a shocker day at the K. One of the, you know, the
which was cool
college theme day. Yeah, it was awesome.
And then was on the radio. I understand.
Yeah, he was on with Joel and Monty on the pregame. Then was on the radio for a little bit. He was up on the Crown Vision. I mean,
it's awesome.
I was saying this with Jacob yesterday. Before we'll get to what's on tap in a second. I was saying this with Jacob yesterday. It's finally getting to a point that Gene is able to take the bows that he has deserved for 30 however many years, you know? I think all the parties involved have buried the necessary hatchets, and now he's being able to enjoy the fruits of his labor a little bit, you know? He was around the team quite a bit last spring. He was standing around the cage. He was in the dugout. He was shaking hands. He was, you know, I also, you know, I said this yesterday, so I apologize for people that heard this, but he knew, I think, from the beginning that it wasn't Todd Butler's fault that he replaced him, you know, so there was never a real high point of contention with Todd, so that was good, and Todd basically from the beginning rolled out the red carpet for Gene,
right.
You know.
Just, received him very warmly,
yes,
absolutely.
Please be around. Please talk to the team. Please, you know, this is your program. And so anyway, I think it didn't culminate with that on Friday night. It will in December when he goes into the Shocker Sports Hall of Fame all by himself, rightfully so. But,
right.
You know, now that the fences are mended, and like I said, Gene's starting to take some of the bows that he's deserved to take for the past 40 years. Now, to be clear, Gene wanted to make sure that he didn't take any prematurely. He didn't want to go into any halls of fame before he retired or while he was still active. And I understand that, but now, you know, to the victor belong the spoils, and that's Gene. So anyway, and then the weekend came and went, came back and back in the saddle yesterday. But yeah, it was very
good,
very enjoyable and relaxing week with the family, and so that was good. All right, so let's get to what's on tap. It's brought to you by Side Pockets. Where the, what's today? Tuesday, Taco Tuesday. Get four hard shell beef tacos loaded to the hilt for just $5.95 today. Coming up, look, I'll just get this out there right now. The Royals melted down last night, specifically Brandon Maurer. And if you don't listen to the show somewhat religiously, you might think I want to designate for assignment the entire team. That's not the case. But one guy should be at the front of the list. And he blew it last night, and it's a large sample size. I'll let you know who that is and what the sample size is here in just a second as the Royals lost to the Tigers after sweeping the Twins. I want to at least broach the subject of the Lakers roster, and I feel like Ashton Kutcher is going to jump from behind the wall and surprise us all and say, hey, we got punked when I look at this roster. We haven't really dove into it yet, and I know past performance and behavior doesn't necessarily mean the same will happen in the future, but I feel like Magic Johnson and Rob Pelinka are kind of tempting fate because they just signed Michael Beasley in addition to the rest of you know, in some ways, a questionable cast of characters. We'll talk about that a little bit. The Twitter question has to do with funky first names of Royals players in history. It's that time of the year, of course. It's July 24th, so, you know, we're going to have some weird Twitter questions from time to time. Also, speaking of the Royals, they and the Orioles in the chase for the number one pick. We'll let you know what the records are there up to date. And a huge game of yay or nay. And
wow.
Headlining it is one of your boys, Chris Sale. So we'll get into all that second hour and give away some NBC World Series tickets. And on this day, as usual, so there you have it. And 869-1240, if you want to be a part of it, the Tad's Locker Room Hotline. That is your Tuesday Sports Daily. That's What's on Tap, brought to you by Side Pockets. What's on tap later tonight, game two of that series between the Royals and the Tigers, coming up right here on KFH. On air 6:30, first pitch 7:15, so that will follow shortly after the drive finishes up at 6.
A lot of stuff going on.
Yeah.
A lot of stuff happening.
Yeah. Okay, so on the heels of that sweep of the Twins, the Royals were well on their way to win number 4 in a row, their longest of the year. Their longest winning streak potentially of the year, 4 games. Heath Philmeyer pitched into the 7th inning, looked very good doing it, did kind of run into a little bump in the 7th, and then Kevin McCarthy allowed Brian McCann and Jose Iglesias to cut the lead to, I think at the time, 4-2, 3-2, something like that. But Heath Philmeyer was good, but with Willie Peralta down, with Tim Hill down because of usage, it basically came down to Brandon Maurer, Jason Adam, and somebody else. I can't remember who, for Ned to pick from to close out the game. It was 4-2 is the score going into the ninth. It was Jason Adam, Maurer, and Jason Hamill. Those were the options. Ned went to Brandon Maurer, and Maurer faced 3, didn't retire any, all scored, Royals lost. He has, Brandon Maurer, been on the team now for 2 years after being acquired from San Diego. And last year and so far in this, and mind you, Bruce, he's already been sent down to Omaha to try to, whatever, straighten it out,
yeah,
figure it out, whatever you want to call it. 32 innings as a Royal, 59 hits, 22 walks, 28 strikeouts. That's Brandon Maurer. And of those that qualify, all you got to do is throw 30 innings. He has the worst ERA in Royals history, 10.41. I'm sorry, man, but this isn't working out. And if you have to feel like you have to keep him, do not pitch him in high leverage or anywhere close to high leverage situations, because he is an absolute arsonist. He torpedoed Heath Philmeyer's best start in his brief Royals career. And look, they're not going anywhere. We both know that. We all know that. But I don't want to be flippant when it comes to guys' careers or lives, but this is the last year of Brandon Maurer's deal. He's owed just short of $3 million on it. And this comes on the heels of a game 17 days ago, Bruce, against your Red Sox, where he went 2/3 of an inning, gave up 5 hits and 5 runs in that game.
Yep. Let me pose a question. And here's how you know it's over. And there's lots of different ways that you can know it's over. And I'm sure that Dayton Moore probably understands that. But when your teammates are all, you know, heads down, mm-hmm, rolling eyes, mm-hmm, shaking heads, when you get to that point, there are clubhouses, when a guy's going bad, that'll rally to a guy's side. He's done it before. We've got his back. He'd have ours. Going through a rough patch, has got to work it out. You see clubhouses like that a lot.
Sure.
And it's a natural thing in baseball because the natural inclination is it's all for one and one for all, and you want guys to work out because they help you in your cause. But you can get to a point, and I think that the Royals are long since past this with Mauer, where guys are wondering why are we doing this again? Mm-hmm. At least that's the feeling that I probably get. Can't imagine that they don't feel that way. And it's nothing personal,
right?
It's nothing personal. I mean, I don't know the guy. He may be a good dude. All of those things mean nothing here. He just can't get the job done. And it's not like a lot of the other Royals are getting jobs done very well in a winning fashion. But this is the kind of guy that you go, oh, no, please, please. You know, we don't need someone bringing a gas can to a fire at the end of the game. And I feel like that's where they are. And once you get to that point, then you're lost.
Yeah.
There's no reason to be around anymore. And I'm not sure what the point would be to have him around at this particular juncture. You know, cut your losses. And cut him loose. Maybe he catches on somewhere else. I mean, I'd release him unconditionally.
Yeah, I would too.
But
taking a, and again, this sounds harsh, but where does he belong? He doesn't belong taking a spot on the roster at the big club, not with a team that is, 30-6. What is their record? 30-69. He needs to be on the big league roster. I mean, in addition to the 59 hits and 32 innings he's given up as a Royal, 8 home runs. That's one every 4 innings, and he's a short guy. He's a closer type. His WHIP this year, walks and hits per innings pitched, 3. So best case scenario, when he comes in, he ends up loading the bases. That's best case scenario. Worst case is at least one of them score. And with his 14.25 ERA, more times than not, it's more than one. 869-1240, if you want to weigh in on the Royals' loss last night. Chris is up first on the Tad's Locker Room Hotline. Hello, Chris.
Morning, guys. Hey, I wanted to speak about, I don't know if you guys knew about it or not. Have you heard about the Gary Sanchez debacle last night? If not, I'll kind of...
I heard he didn't run out a ball very hard, and it cost them a run, and it ended the game. Is that about right?
Oh, sorry to hear that.
What happened was, earlier in the game, he had a pass ball that hit his shin guard. There's a guy on second now, if you can picture this. The guy on second takes this ball, only trickles down the third baseline, maybe 40 feet from Sanchez. He jogs after the ball, I mean, just haphazardly. The guy goes from second, and he scores.
Wow.
So then the ninth inning comes. They're down 7-6. There's a guy on second, I believe, was the only runner. He hits it right up the middle. It's in the top of the ninth. There's two down. The guy feels it. Tampa player fields it behind second, flips to the other guy, his other guy, to try to get the guy on second. The play is a slow developing play. He turns and he sees Sanchez isn't even running up the first base line, and he gets thrown out. And it just looked really bad. I think this is going to be a story. There's something going on.
Well, I saw the headline and kind of clicked on it, but he said through an interpreter, I should have ran harder.
You got to see it. It's really, really bad. And I'm like you say, Bruce. Wow, it really makes you. I don't like the guy anyway. Obviously, we're not Yankee fans, but this is going to be a story because there's something going on with this guy. I think, and it could just be. It could just be his batting. His batting has gone through his head, and now he doesn't give a flip about the rest of it. But man, as you guys know, you can't have that. And this is going to be a story, I think. So thanks, guys.
Okay,
thanks, Chris.
Yeah, that will be a thing.
Yeah.
In New York, hell yes, it's going to be a thing.
Oh my God,
and with them,
absolutely.
Not playing particularly well. I mean, they're 6 back of the Red Sox and 5-5 in their last 10. But yeah, I did see at least a headline that said, and I didn't catch the passed ball and him dogging after a wild pitch or passed ball or whatever that allowed a guy to score from second. That's bad enough. But man, if you represent the potential final out of the game and you admit to dogging it down the first base line, he's going to get destroyed. If he hasn't already, and I'm sure he has. Like, I guess we could click on the post or the times
God.
Or whatever.
Especially in New York.
Mm-hmm.
Are you kidding me? I mean, you talk about an unforgiving place for half-assed efforts. My God, they'll crucify you in that town, and rightfully so.
Yeah.
They're not going well right now, in a relative sense. They're still the Yankees and where they are, but you elevate where the Yankees are to their competition with the Red Sox to win the division. That's what the drive is, I mean, and that's what you're competing with down the season's second half. There's plenty of time left for them to get back into it, although the Red Sox haven't shown an inclination to this point for any kind of rough patches. They've avoided those largely, so six kind of ends up looking like 11 the way that they're playing right now, but we'll see how that plays out. I don't get guys not running out.
See, that's the easiest low-hanging fruit for yep. Joe fan watching a baseball game, and it happens at least, I'd say, twice a year, especially with a superstar. It shows up, and the rest of the world goes, and rightfully so, at the very least, the guy could run hard. And this happens
a couple of times a year. What was it, the last week or 10 days ago, whenever it was, Bryce Harper pulled one of those, the Sanchez. And there are plenty of other examples. And you're right. It is ultimately the lowest hanging fruit because fans notice immediately guys that aren't trying.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it's not about not trying all the time. Who knows? There could be a moment of frustration of, you know, God, I just can't, I'm not seeing the ball, or, you know, whatever the case may be. Maybe you squared it up, hit it hard, but it right at someone and you're just PO'd.
Mm-hmm.
But there's lots of things that can make you take that kind of momentary, you know, what do I have to do to make this right kind of thing. But I don't know. Running hard's not—it's not that hard. You hit the ball, you get out of the box, and you make your effort.
Hey,
end of conversation.
You can make it look like you're running hard without running hard.
Of course, you can.
You know, there's you and I both know that.
Right.
But as it pertains to Gary Sanchez, he's been on the DL. He's hitting 188. The Yankees can't make up any ground on the Red Sox. I don't know if that has anything to do with his individual frustration or him dogging it to first base and admitting through an interpreter he should have run harder. What was it? Judge, I think, would have scored on the play if he'd have been safe or something like that, and they lost 7-6. So yeah, he's going to get destroyed in the media and I'm sure he already has, because New York is not the place to hit 188 and be part of, you know, a team that coming into the year we all expected to hit 250 home runs, and I suppose they still might do all that. But with all that being thrown into one big ball and them looking up at your Red Sox, which for them makes it even more painful.
Sure.
That they're playing as well as they are and are six games out, and the Red Sox seemingly can't lose. They're 71-31, playing 696, which is ridiculous.
It is.
But you know, Aaron Boone or somebody has got to reach this guy and say, look, we're still four clear of Seattle in the wild card. We're, you know, put whatever it is, like you tried to diagnose, Bruce, whatever this is with
whatever
you,
it is,
you need to put it aside and be a pro. Just to be a good teammate, let alone you're going to get crucified in the press. You know, you can make a lot of this go away. And maybe not a lot, but some of it go away. And, you know, look, contrition is the first part, and he admitted it through an interpreter. So I suppose there's that. There's one step. But you hit 188. You spent some time on the DL because of a groin. Aaron Boone, of all people, could say, look, I get it. You know, I've been there. I've been a player before. But we don't need you making headlines for those kinds of reasons. We got bigger fish to fry here.
Yeah, no question about it. So we'll see how that plays out. He'll take a licking, but it'll live to now. They start winning games again, then everything will change. But for right now, he's an easy guy to be a lightning rod for a team that's not going particularly well. Mm-hmm. You know, you've got a couple of things going on in baseball right now that are fairly intriguing, that may be playing out a little bit under the radar. Dodgers and the Phillies are playing right now. I like that series for obvious reasons. Dodgers leading in the West, Phillies a player in the East. You've got the Diamondbacks and the Cubs playing, two contenders, the Diamondbacks in the National League West, just a bit behind the Dodgers, and the Cubs leading the Central. You've got the Rockies and the Astros starting a series tonight. Pretty intriguing interleague matchup. That in and of themselves, any of those three matchups, probably you would go by looking at your box scores in the morning and getting ready for another night of baseball and might not stop and check. But those are all three pretty intriguing matchups because they're all potentially postseason kind of types of games amongst teams that maybe you don't think of in quite that way all the time, which I kind of like right now, still before the trade deadline.
You know, it's – and this is going to be part of our yay or nay, the Dodgers. But, Bruce, Jacob and I talked about this yesterday and kind of wondered aloud. Look, Manny Machado was supposedly the kingpin, and once he got moved, then everybody else would kind of fall into place, or whoever was left on the
right
on the trading block, or you know, as it were. I'm starting to wonder now, and Jacob asked me what's taking everybody so long. You know, what's the hang up here? And my answer was, well, it's just GMs and higher ups saying, all right, is this package as equitable as we can get for this particular guy? And there's a bunch of kind of nondescript potential trade bait that we can poke holes in their game. And look, anytime you make a trade that's not one big leaguer for another big leaguer, you're probably not going to get – it's not going to be equitable. That's why you're trading him to start with, because you can, you know, you need to move on from him. And that's the way Mike Moustakas is. That's the guy that comes
right
to mind. But everybody's wanting to make sure they don't get fleeced and that they get as much value as they can before they turn loose of a guy. And I'm kind of with Jacob. I'm wondering what's taking so long, and are we going to see any splashy stuff in the next week? Because it's getting kind of right down to it.
It's a good question. And then it becomes a question of how do those guys fit? You know, as players, they fit into anyone's plans, but chemically you wonder.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, how much is Manny Machado going to slide into L.A.? Turner, by the way, now, what? He's on the DL.
Yeah, so just move him over to third for now.
Yeah,
I suppose, right?
So thank God you've got Machado now, because that whole left side of the infield is on the DL. So, anyway, fair questions to ask. Shane and Bruce, just getting rolling on this Tuesday edition. Sports Daily on the Sports Station, KFH.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.